Okay. Okay, I say, knowing I'm totally fucked.
Chapter 6. Jenna. The summer before my 10th grade year, I met Damien Mahoney. I was instantly in love. He was older and sexier, way sexier than the guys at my school. That summer, he asked me to be his girlfriend. I said no. I wasn't allowed to have a boyfriend until I was 17, so that was the only answer I could give. He'd meet me after he was done with his classes and walk me home. Each day, he asked me again, and the answer would always be the same until he finally asked me why. When I told him, he sat down on my front porch and waited for my dad to come home. I watched out the window, peeking through the curtains every few minutes, wondering when he'd give up and go home. He didn't. I never asked my dad what he said to Damien. I was too embarrassed. The next day at school, I found a note in my locker. We can't be boyfriend and girlfriend, but we can pretend. Hearing Jimmy say we can pretend means something else, though. Damien wanted me. Jimmy doesn't. He's just doing it to be nice so Paul will back off. If I was smart, I'd latch onto Paul and hope that maybe he'd be okay dating a pregnant woman. Maybe he wants to be a dad and wouldn't mind taking on someone else's child. I know in my heart that the baby's dad won't care. He doesn't want kids. He doesn't even want a wife. Josie has mentioned it in passing one time too many. As far as unplanned pregnancies go, this takes the cake. I could tell him, but I'm not sure I could deal with the look on his face. I don't know how I'd take his retreating backside as he runs for the hills. I don't need his money, and maybe he won't realize the timing. I know giving him the option is the right thing to do, but I don't want him around out of obligation. We both screwed up that night. We both don't need to pay. I'm perfectly happy taking on the motherhood role while he lives his playboy life. Jimmy doesn't look at me, and 5 minutes into our pretend relationship, I'm already getting the cold shoulder. I guess I should probably go in.
Yeah, he's waiting to ask you some questions about your ex.
Jimmy looks at me over his shoulder.
You know he'll never touch you again, right?
My lips form a thin line. I know, but honestly, that scares me. I don't want you guys to get hurt because of me.
Your family, Jenna. Liam and Harrison won't let anything happen to you.
I nod. It doesn't escape me that he said Liam and Harrison. What about him? He's probably not counting himself because he won't be here next week. Mr. Blow into town, break some hearts, and leave again, just when we're used to him coming around. I get up and walk back into the house, leaving him on the porch. He confuses me. If he's supposed to be my pretend boyfriend, don't you think he'd walk me in and act like it in front of my suitor? Not Jimmy. I have the most obtuse pretend boyfriend in the history of pretend boyfriends.
Jenna,
Paul says when I enter the room. I want to turn back around and head outside and sit in silence with Jimmy, but I step forward with a fake smile on my face. I sit down next to Liam and Harrison, even though there's a seat next to Paul. He looks at the empty seat and shrugs.
Not a scare tonight, I hear.
Yeah, I say. Because what else can I say? No, I wasn't scared that my psycho ex who beat the ever-loving shit out of me showed up in the town where I've been hiding for the past 4 years.
What's his name?
I look down at my slightly protruding belly. I know no one suspects anything. You can't tell unless I lift my shirt up, and I won't be doing that until I can figure out a way to tell Josie.
Jenna?
Sorry. His name is Damien Mahoney. Paul writes down his name on his notepad.
I have to ask this, but is Jenna Palmer your real name?
I shake my head slowly. I feel all eyes on me, but I can't look at them. Jenna's my first name, but Palmer is something my dad came up with. He had some documents made up with the name before I left town.
How do you think he found you?
I don't know. I call my parents once a week from a disposal cell phone.
You've taken a lot of steps so he can't find you.
I nod. It seems like it as I tell them, but it didn't work. I guess not enough since he found me. I should have left Beaumont a year after I got here. That was the plan, that I'd move around to keep the trail cold. But I met Josie and, well, it'll be almost 5 years here and I couldn't bear to leave, but I'll be gone soon.
What do you mean?
I look up to see Josie and Caitlin standing in the entryway. I bite my lip to keep myself from crying.
I need to move on.
No, you don't. You can stay here. We'll protect you from this sicko, Josie says.
I shake my head. I can't put you and the kids in harm's way. I don't know what he'll do, and I couldn't live with myself if he hurt one of you or the kids. It'd kill me.
Leaving might be a bit drastic. Let me look for him and see what I can do to defuse the situation,
Paul offers.
I think you'll have enough protection here. Liam has his normal crew, and he's already spoken to them about adding staff around everyone. If we can keep the paparazzi out of Beaumont, surely we'll get an abusive ex-husband out.
Okay, I say, but have no intention of staying. It will also be best for the father of my baby if I just leave. My luck, my baby would look just like him and everyone in town would know. I know how Josie felt, especially when Liam came back. Everyone suspected that he was Noah's father, but she never let on. But when Liam showed up in town, everyone's suspicions were confirmed. They're getting their happy ending, though. I won't be so lucky.
For now, I hear you'll be staying here.
Oh, no.
Yes, she is, both Liam and Josie say at the same time. I don't know who to look at first.
I choose Josie. She's standing next to the table with her hands on her hips. She's challenging me to defy her. Liam has his arm resting on the back of my chair. He cocks his head to look at me. He's waiting, too.
No wonder those two make such a great pair.
I have an apartment.
And he probably knows about it,
Liam says in his fatherly tone.
My things are there.
We're going over there tonight with Paul to get your things. You can come, but I'd prefer it if you stay behind.
Liam, there are things women like to pack themselves.
Then you go with us, Josie. I don't think it's a good idea for Jenna to be out there tonight. He's out there waiting for her. He probably knows where she lives and is just waiting for her to come home, and that's not happening on my watch. Or mine.
Harrison adds.
Mine either,
Paul says. The only one missing is my pretend boyfriend, who hasn't come back in. I don't know what he's thinking, but if he's serious, no one is going to believe that he's my boyfriend.
Mine either. I was walking around outside and noticed the car down the road. Whoever is in the car has a torch, because when I started walking towards them, it was switched off. If it's him, he's looking for an opportunity. Josie and I can go and get Jenna's stuff, but I think Liam and Harrison should stay here with Jenna. Paul, you should leave and circle back around and maybe check those license plates, unless he follows us out of here.
The room goes quiet as Jimmy stands in front of us. We hadn't heard him come in, but the room falls silent when he speaks. Mouths open and close again. No one's sure what to say in response to his outburst. He must have been thinking about this for some time to come and assert himself.
Sounds like a good plan,
Paul says, standing up and leaving the table. Everyone starts shuffling around me. My need to move on, to leave Beaumont, has fallen on deaf ears. If I'm to do this, I'll have to do it in the dark of night.
What do you need from your apartment? Josie asks when she sits down next to me. She has a piece of paper and a pen in her hand.
Her paper says Mommy Notes, and I realize that the kids are nowhere to be seen.
Where are the kids?
Mr. Powell has them. We thought it would be better if they stayed away tonight.
That's not fair.
Josie looks up and smiles. She rests her hand on top of mine.
Your family, Jenna. You're important to me. To us. Please let us help.
He's dangerous.
Yeah, well, my husband is big and likes to hit things, so he can be dangerous, too.
I know she's trying to make light of the situation, and I do smile at her comment, but I don't want them to bend over backwards more than they already have.
One night, I say with no conviction.
Josie rolls her eyes and nods, but I have a feeling she doesn't believe me. Not that I believe myself. I tell her what I need and where she can find everything. She kisses me on the cheek and yells for Jimmy. I jump when the front door shuts, and anxiety builds knowing that Damien is out there, and he could be watching this house, waiting to pounce on my friends.
Everything will be fine. Caitlin sits next to me and holds my hand. I hate feeling like this. I worked hard to get over the things that happened to me, but in the blink of an eye, he's back and I feel on edge and afraid. I wish it were that easy.
It can be if you think positive. Maybe he just wants to talk, or maybe after Paul gets a hold of him, he'll realize that Beaumont isn't safe for him.
Harrison and Liam aren't going to let anything happen to you, and neither is Paul. You have friends here, Jenna. Friends that care and love you. Liam thinks of you as his sister. So do I. Yeah, I say, my voice breaking. She's going to make me cry, and there isn't a thing I can do about it. I don't want anyone to get hurt. We'll be more hurt if you leave us, or if we don't beat this psycho at his own game. You're one of us, whether you like it or not. Thing is, I like it. I'm just afraid of what they'll think when they find out I'm pregnant. I don't even want to know what they'll do if they find out who the father is. That's a secret I'll take to the grave.
Chapter 7. Jimmy. As soon as we drive onto the road, the car I spotted earlier turns its lights on. He thinks he's being a sly little shit, hiding in the dark like the big bad wolf. What he doesn't know is that Paul is lurking behind Liam's gate, waiting to see if the car moves. I watch out of the rearview mirror as Paul's lights flash. Josie turns around and watches while I drive her car away from the scene that's taking place behind us.
Should we stop?
No, we'll get in the way, I say, even though I want to turn around and get a good look at this dickhead so I can try and protect Jenna. We need to get her stuff and get out of there while Paul is talking to this guy. We don't know if he knows where she lives, just where she works, and we have to make sure she's never alone.
That's really nice, Jimmy.
What?
You wanting to take care of Jenna. I don't know. You're not around much, so it's usually just the five of us. I'm really hoping to set Jenna up with Paul.
Why? I ask.
He likes her, and he'd be good for her. We've known him for a long time. He'd make a good husband.
For some unknown reason, my jaw clenches together. My teeth grind at the thought of Jenna being with Paul. I shouldn't give a shit. She's just a friend. A friend that I care about a little more than I should. I remain silent until we arrive at Jenna's apartment. I look around as I get out of the car. There's no sign of the car or Paul, and I'm hoping they're still talking. Josie and I run up the stairs and down the hall to the apartment. I look around, mentally taking a note of her neighbours. It's very quiet up here, so if she were to scream, I'd like to think someone would hear her. But then again, if this was L.A. and someone screamed, they'd ignore it, so who knows? Josie lets us in and gets to work. I tell her we should keep the lights off if at all possible, so we don't draw attention to her ex in case he's outside.
Where did you learn all of this?
What? I ask, picking up a photo of Jenna and Josie from the wedding.
Well, you were pretty impressive at the house, directing everyone, and now with the lights.
Oh, my ex-girlfriend's uncle is a detective, and in her dad's attempt to change me, he got me to go on the beat with his brother for a few nights. The guy talked a lot, and I listened.
Was that Chelsea?
I look up and find Josie standing in front of me. I put the picture of Jenna down.
Yeah. How'd you know that? Liam told me. Said you weren't always a womanizer.
I can't help but laugh. He's one to talk.
I'm not a womanizer. I just like women.
Same thing, Jimmy. You need yourself a good girl to keep you happy.
I smirk at the thought. There's one woman I'd like to keep me happy, if she was willing, but I have no doubt she wants nothing to do with me. Unfortunately, that's something I need to accept and move on. My phone vibrates. I take it out of my pocket and shake my head at the irony of the situation. Speak of the devil, I say aloud.
I've been thinking a lot. I want to see you.
I don't even know if I should respond or ignore Chelsea. She puts my head into a mindfuck. I wanted to marry that girl and have gorgeous babies with her, but she ruined me. She made me feel like I was worthless. She made me think that everything we had shared meant nothing to her.
You okay?
I clear my throat and put my phone back in my pocket without sending a text back to Chelsea.
Yeah, you ready?
I reach for the bag she's carrying and put it on my shoulder. I follow her out. I look around Jenna's apartment and try to picture her in it, curled up on the sofa reading a book. In my mind, she looks happy, content. I walk down the stairs first and tell Josie to wait when I step out onto the path. It's late and there isn't much traffic. The wrought iron lamppost casts a soft haze over the street. I look left and right, trying to decide if anything is out of place. I nod at Josie. She walks out and heads towards her car, climbing into the passenger seat. I walk around to the driver's side. As I step onto the road, a car whizzes past and slams on their brakes. They stay in the middle of the road with their lights shining.
"Get in the car, Jimmy!"
Josie yells. I scramble, opening the door and sliding in just as they reverse past us. I turn on the ignition and put it into gear. "Call Liam and tell him that we're being followed. We can't go home right now."
"He knows where we live."
"I know he does. He also knows where Jenna lives, and he doesn't need to know we are heading back to your place. Find out where Paul is." Josie speaks to Liam as I drive around. I'm watching my mirrors, waiting for this asshole to come up behind me.
"Liam says go to the house."
"He does?"
"Yeah, he says security is there, and the gate will be locked tonight."
"Okay." I do as Liam suggests and drive back to the house. We aren't followed, which is suspicious to me. What is this guy playing at? We get stopped at the driveway and the car is checked. I know it's a precaution, and I'd be doing the same thing, but for God's sake, I have the owner of the house in the car with me. As soon as we're given the okay, the gate shuts. It's a fortress here. Liam had walls and massive fencing put up when he bought the house. He didn't want anyone watching his son. I don't blame him. If I had one, I'd never take him out in public. Josie and I rush into the house. She runs straight into Liam's arms.
"What the fucking hell is going on?"
"We don't know," Liam replies. "Paul called from the station to say he had the driver of the car in custody, but wouldn't say if it was Jenna's ex, just said that you were right. I called him about this other car, and he thinks it's a bunch of teens just screwing around."
"You've got to be kidding me."
Liam shrugs. "I did that shit when I was a kid, so why not?"
"That's such bullshit. Those fuckwads scared the crap out of your wife."
"I'm fine, Jimmy." I throw my hands up in exasperation at this whole mess. I see Jenna sitting down and carry the bag in my hand over to her.
"Thanks, Jimmy."
I kneel down in front of her and watch as she hides her face from me. She doesn't want me to see her crying.
"You don't have to hide from me."
She sees all the ugly that I am. I should be able to see hers, too.
"You give me whiplash, Jimmy."
"What does that mean?" Jenna sighs and wipes her face with the back of her hands.
"It means that one moment you're this untouchable rocker who doesn't care, and then the next you're this sweet guy who does."
I sit back on my heels and look down at the floor. Is that how others see me, too? I look at her. Her green eyes glisten from her tears. "I'm sorry. I don't mean to confuse you. I'm just being me."
"Yeah, I know."
She says this so sadly that it makes my heart ache. What did I do to her to cause her pain? It's stupid. I know what I did, and that's exactly why it won't happen again. "We're friends, right?"
"Of course we are."
I get up from the floor and sit down next to her on the sofa. I pull her towards me, but I don't want her to feel awkward. It's hard to stay friends with someone like her, but I'm going to try, even if she doesn't want to be my friend. "Do you know what you need?"
"What's that?"
"A holiday." Jenna laughs.
"That'd be nice, but I make just enough money for me to pay rent and live. I don't save for things like a vacation."
"I'll pay." She shakes her head.
"No, I'm not borrowing money from you."
I sit up so I'm in her eyesight. I pull her chin up so she's looking at me. "I think we should go somewhere for a week or two, let things settle down and just relax. Besides, I think we have some things to discuss."
"I don't know, Jimmy. It feels wrong, and I don't want to be a third wheel."
"Third wheel?" Jenna sighs and fiddles with her fingers.
"I don't want to watch you hit on women."
Does she actually think I'd take her on a holiday and go on the pool for other women? This girl is crazy. Her ex messed her up good and proper, that's for sure. "Sweet lips, I want to take you on a holiday so we can relax. We can lie on the beach, drink some girly fruity crap,
have fun in the sea and eat overly expensive food. I want to do this because you're my friend.
She blanches at the word friend. I don't blame her, but I need to keep the lines defined. I'm not boyfriend material for her, and I don't want her thinking I'm going to settle down like Liam and Harrison have.
It's just a holiday, Jenna, nothing more.
I'll have to ask Josie for the time off.
Do you really think she's going to say no? I ask, trying to stifle a laugh.
No about what?
We both turn to find Josie walking towards us. She's carrying a tray of food, and right on cue my stomach growls.
I figured as much, Jimmy. So, what am I not saying no to?
I take a sandwich off the tray and offer a smile in thanks.
I'm taking Jenna on a holiday to take her mind off things.
Really? You two on a vacation together?
Yeah.
Why not? Oh, I don't know. You're not exactly each other's type.
I shrug.
So?
I'll change for a week.
Josie and Jenna both look at me. The room is silent.
I can't help that I like my ladies' man persona. Chelsea made me this way.
Loving someone who does that much damage totally fucks with your mind and your sense of being.
Have fun on vacation, Josie says, leaving us to plan.
So, sweet lips, where do you fancy going?
Her eyes light up, and her lips turn into a huge smile spreading from ear to ear. I know I said I'd keep it in my pants where other women are concerned, but if I'm going to get to stare at Jenna and her fit body in a bikini for a week, she and I may need to come to a friends-with-benefits understanding.
No, that can't happen.
Chapter 8. Jenna. I look out the window and sigh. It's been raining for 3 days straight with no sign of letting up. I suppose if we were going to have a weather element, I take rain over a hurricane or tornado. Not sure how I deal with a tornado warning. I'm depressed. Not in the I'm going to do something drastic to myself sense, but more in the I'm bored out of my mind from being locked up. I'm supposed to be sitting on a warm beach someplace in the south, but Officer Paul Baker had to burst my fantasy bubble. When Jimmy announced that he was taking me on a holiday, Paul put his foot down. Literally. He said that I couldn't leave, not in the middle of an active investigation, which confused me because I hadn't pressed charges. But he said I need to stay, and Liam agreed. Jimmy didn't say anything. In fact, he left that night and hasn't been around since. That was almost 2 weeks ago. I don't know what I was expecting, but I thought that maybe we'd be friends. I know that is far-fetched considering his history and his need to be free all the time. I mean, why would he want to babysit me when he can be out doing who knows what and not suffer the consequences? I did that. I took that step and look where it got me. My palm finds my stomach and rubs along the outside of my sweatshirt. I'm lucky that the cold weather is allowing me to wear layers, because right now my oversized sweatshirt is hiding an even bigger bump. I'm not going to be able to hide it much longer. The truth is going to come out sooner or later. I just hope that they don't freak out on me. I know Josie is going to want to know who the father is, but I need to keep that to myself out of respect for him. I keep thinking I'm going to tell him, but then I imagine the look on his face when I tell him that our one moment produced a child, and I can't bring myself to say those words. Watching him walk out on me will break my heart. Liam's car pulls into the driveway, shaking me from my reverie. I focus harder through the rain-sheeted window when I hear four car doors slam individually. From the time that it takes to leave the living room and walk into the foyer, the doors open. Liam walks in first, his arms and hair dripping with water. Josie's next, but under the cover of Liam's jacket. My heart aches, knowing I won't have that kind of love. The next person to walk in is my mom, but the fact that she's standing there, staring at me, is not registering. I look at her hard, questioningly. She smiles, her eyes sad. My dad steps in and shuts the door. He looks at me, smiling widely. I run the 5 or so steps it takes me to get to my parents. I collapse into them, one on each side of me, and I don't even try to stop the tears from coming. My parents are here in Beaumont.
I haven't seen them in so long, and they're here, standing in Liam's house, dripping water all over the floor. But that doesn't matter, because I'm holding them now.
Let me take your coats, Liam says, moving around us, trying not to bother our reunion.
I pull back and look at my parents. My mom, she's aged, but is just as beautiful as the last time I saw her. My dad, he's graying more and has earned himself a bit of a belly. I must be dreaming, I say.
You're not dreaming. Your friend Liam arranged this for us.
I look over their shoulders at Liam, who is looking shy, like he doesn't like to be the center of attention. If he weren't the lead singer of a successful band, I'd almost believe that he's shy. Liam looks at me and offers me a half smile and a shrug. He's pretty great, I say, downplaying the situation for him. Come on, you must be so cold in those wet clothes. I'll take you upstairs and you can change.
I'll go get their things, Liam says, slipping into his coat. I'll go with you, son, my dad says.
Liam freezes, his hand on the doorknob. I see Liam's jaw clench, but he nods, accepting my dad's help. I'll have to find a time privately to tell my dad that Liam and his father have a rough relationship.
I'm so happy to see you, Jenna.
My mom takes my hands in hers. Her eyes water, as do mine. The last time she saw me, I had a bruised cheek that even makeup couldn't hide.
I can't believe you're here.
I pull her into my arms and hug her tightly. I mouth thank you to Josie, who was standing there watching us. She looks like she's about to cry. She shakes her head, telling me everything I need to know. Liam set this up. He did this for me. The men walk back in with luggage in their hands. Liam nods to the stairs and my dad follows. I'll gladly take the couch if it means my parents are going to be here for a while.
How long are you here for?
Well, dear, you and your father need to figure out what to do about Damien, and I'm going to take care of you. I fight the urge to roll my eyes.
I'm fine, Mom. Ever since that night, Damien hasn't been around.
I know, but that doesn't mean he isn't waiting for you, lurking out there like the sick man that he is. She closes her eyes, clearly remembering the night when I came home battered. I will never forget the look on her face when I walked into the house, or when she sat with me in the emergency room while the police took pictures. Pictures that they never did anything with.
I wouldn't know. I'm being held captive. Josie scoffs in the background. It's true. This is the Westbury jail. I'm not even working, and I hate that.
With more people watching now, you can go back to work.
Liam's voice startles me. I turn away from my mom to find him and my dad behind me.
Is that why you called my parents? To babysit me?
I ask, trying not to laugh. He shrugs.
Well, thank you, I say, giving him a hug. I really needed them here.
I mumble into his shirt.
I know.
He rubs his hands up and down my back.
We just want you safe.
I nod, biting my lip to keep from crying. I can't keep crying at the drop of a hat. I know I'm emotional, but it's getting to be too much. I'm going to dehydrate myself if I'm not careful.
We need to talk, Jenna,
my dad says, motioning toward the table. I follow him, pulling out the chair across from him. He slides papers over to me. Everything moves in slow motion. The last time we did this, I ended my marriage. What will I be doing this time? I flip through the pages, each page detailing previously told incidents from the diary I kept. I can't read them. I don't want to relive those nights in my life. When I married Damien, I was happy. I was in love.
Sign on the back there.
What am I signing?
It's a restraining order. It's a long shot, but we're going to try it. I can't practice here, but Liam says he already has someone that I can work with to get this squared away.
What does this mean, Dad?
He folds his hands on the table and leans toward me.
It means, if the judge accepts this order, Damien won't be able to come within 2,000 feet. It's far-fetched, but we're hoping to pull some strings.
And what happens if the judge doesn't go for this?
My dad leans back and scratches his belly. I stifle a laugh. He won't like it if I'm not taking this seriously.
The worst-case scenario is we get thrown out, but I'm hoping it doesn't come to that.
We don't even know where he is.
Dad flips through the papers sitting in front of him.
Officer Baker has been keeping tabs on him. He placed a GPS beacon under his car. It's illegal, but it allows Baker to track Damien's whereabouts.
Is he waiting for me to leave the house?
Yes, Liam says, coming into the room. This is why Paul was adamant you stay in the house. He's waiting to bust him and was hoping he'd trespass, but he hasn't. So now Paul wants you to return to work.
I'm the bait, Liam shrugs.
Or the solution. Your dad will file the restraining order tomorrow, asking for an emergency hearing. Your ex doesn't have to be at the hearing, but Paul will serve him when he sees him.
It sounds too complicated. I do want to go back to work, but seeing Damien is not something I want to do. I sign my name and leave the table. I have to trust that my dad, Liam, and Paul know what they're doing. I take the stairs to my room. I need to lie down and try to sleep off this headache I'm developing. My mom is in my room. Well, now her room, putting away her clothes. She smiles when I walk in. I sit on the bed and watch her for a minute. Have you been sleeping well? I shake my head. A lot of thoughts running through my head when I'm alone. That happens when you have so much on your plate. She sits down next to me, putting her arm around me. I have something to tell you, but you can't tell Dad. Okay? You have to promise. I know once she does, she'll never tell. I promise, sweetheart. Tell me what's going on. She runs her hands through my hair, like she did when I was younger. Just like she did the night before I married Damien. I'm pregnant. I lift my sweatshirt and show her my little bump. A bump that I'm very proud of. Oh, Jenna! She covers her mouth. I can't look at her for fear of seeing the disappointment in her face. Who's the father? Have you been together long? I shake my head, biting my lip. We're just friends, but he doesn't know. I don't know if I'll tell him. He's not really the commitment type. Do you think he'll change his mind when you tell him? I look at her and see myself years from now. It's better if I do this by myself.
Chapter 9. Jimmy. Everything is white and sterile. This is a new side of Chelsea. When we lived together, it was girly pink with posters of boy bands, tiaras and pom-poms in the corner. The virginal Chelsea was sweet, innocent, and ready to rebel against her straight-laced corporate American father and her beauty contest-winning mother. I was her salvation. She was my destruction.
You're new here.
I look at the leggy blonde lying on the sunbed next to me. I don't remember seeing her when I sat down, but I can't say I was paying much attention.
Yeah, I am. My dad lives here. I'm only staying here until I find my own place.
She turns to face me, putting her sunglasses on top of her head.
Where are you from?
London. She sits up and swings her tanned, toned legs around. She's posh, upper class, right up my father's street. He'd call her arm candy.
What's your name?
Jimmy. Jimmy Davis, I say, as I hold my hand out to her. She takes it, and I shake it firmly.
Can I call you James?
I shake my head slowly and smile at her. Nope. My name's Jimmy, not James. You'd have to ask my mum why she didn't call me James. She laughs, and for the first time since I've been in Los Angeles, I'm laughing too. When my mum suggested I should come out there to live with my dad, I was against the idea. She told me this is where I should pursue my dream of making music, and if I didn't like it, I could come back and try and be successful in London as a famous musician. She wanted the best for me. I didn't want to come. I can't stand my father. I think I'm the only child to ever celebrate when my mum finally kicked him out, but she says I need him in my life. I beg to differ, but I'm here and enjoying the luxury that his apartment has to offer. What's your name?
Chelsea Spencer.
Do you live here? I point to the towering apartment block in front of me. My dad lives on the 17th floor. It's a penthouse, bigger than our flat in London, and it pisses me off that he isn't looking after my mum, given that he clearly has the funds to do so.
Sometimes I stay here, or at our country house.
I give her a once-over and decide that she's from money. I should have known. I wanted to avoid everything that was the typical L.A. cliché, otherwise known as the rich list in Los Angeles, and the first woman I talked to is just that. Chances are Daddy Dearest is probably some high-powered politician. I look back at the pool and watch the other women. They flirt with the waiters and other men passing by. No wonder my dad thinks the way he's treated my mum is okay. He lives it on a daily basis.
Did I say something wrong?
I press my lips together and shake my head. No.
How old are you, Jimmy?
I try to avoid eye contact with her, but to no avail. She's sexy, and I'd be stupid to ignore her. I'm lucky she's even talking to a bloke like me. I'm sure she has some man waiting for her once he finishes work. She adjusts the straps on her bikini, giving me an eyeful. I'm 19, I say, moving my legs around so I can face her. I reach over and move the fabric of her top to cover her nipple. You're showing.
Oh, shit. Thank you.
Her hand covers mine, and she holds it over her tit longer than should be normal, seeing as I just met her. My fingers squeeze on their own accord. I try to move my hand, but she's holding it there firmly.
Sorry, she says, letting go. I think you're really hot.
I think you're fucking sexy, I blurt out.
Wanna see my room?
When we lived together, we had vibrant art, mixed lines, and warmth. Her apartment now lacks color and life. This is what I think as I lie in her bed, staring at the ceiling. Her tanorexic arm is lying across my stomach. One of her bare breasts rests on my chest. Her head is snuggled into my neck. I used to enjoy this. I used to beg for this. But now, I want to run. I turn my head a little to look at Chelsea. Her dark blonde roots are starting to show over her bottled hair color. If I tell her that her roots need doing, she'd go running to the hairdresser to have them taken care of. She's superficial like that, and right now I'm in that frame of mind. I know everything there is to know about her, and that's still not enough for me to stay. Yet the moment I touched back down in Los Angeles, I called her because I knew she'd come running, and now I lie here regretting it. This isn't where I want to be. I've never been able to say no to her, but I never imagined that I'd be back in her bed. She knows how to wear me down, and does it with perfect precision. I'm the way I am because she's my first love, and I haven't even tried to love anyone since her. Maybe that's my problem. Maybe I need to put my heart on the line again to get Chelsea out of my system. I know who can do that for me. She's already creeping in. I just don't know if I can be enough for her. If I tried and she rejected me, then I'd be no better off than I am now. All I know is this isn't where I want to be. I could just go to her and make myself available. If she turns me down, I'll act like it's not a big deal. Typical Jimmy Davis.
What are you thinking so hard about?
I close my eyes the moment her lips touch my chest. I should push her away, but I won't. I should tell her that we won't work, but she already knows that, and here she is, still willing to keep me as her dirty little secret. Life, I say, not wanting to look at her. She doesn't delve any deeper. I know she doesn't care. She's a good pretender, but in reality I'm just something she's using to pass the time until the next daddy-approved boyfriend comes along. Her mouth starts sucking on my dick, and he springs to life in no time. I bite on my lower lip to stop from hissing. I don't want her to know that I'm enjoying her attention, but I'm a fucking bloke, and this shit feels fucking fabulous. I keep my hands behind my head, close my eyes, and enjoy the moment. I imagine the girl I want sucking me off instead of the one that is. Her nails roam over my stomach, down my thighs, and back up again. I shift, lifting my hips up to increase her speed, to ease the pressure that's building. She slows down, and it's not exactly what I had in mind. She lets go and moves. I know what she wants, but I don't think I can bring myself to be with her anymore. She holds my cock. My eyes spring open when I feel myself slide into her. I sit up and grab her hips. She moves to kiss me, but I throw her off me.
What the fuck, Jimmy?
I sit up and put my feet on her wooden floor. She moves behind me and starts kissing my back. Stop, Chelsea. She does, and sighs heavily.
What's wrong?
You know I don't shag without wearing protection.
Jimmy, baby, we've been together for 3 years. We've done it before. I just wanted to feel you.
She coos in my ear as she puts her arms around me. Her lips find my ear and tug lightly on my lobe. No, Chelsea, we haven't been together for 3 years. Regardless of that fact, I don't want kids. You know that.
So put a condom on and make love to me.
I shake my head and stand up. I walk over to the chair where she put my folded clothes at some point during the night. I've got to go.
I just got you back and you're leaving me?
I'm not back, Chels. This was a mistake. I put on my jeans, pull on my boots, and slide my T-shirt over my head. I walk over to the girl I once loved, knowing that I'm never coming back here. I cup her cheek and pull her to me. You know it's for the best. Your dad doesn't approve of me, and he'll make your life a living hell. I kiss her once on the lips and back away from her.
Don't leave me. I need you, Jimmy. You have no idea how bad I need you.
Tears follow her words, but they aren't enough for me. Goodbye, Chelsea. How was Los Angeles? Liam asks while he tunes his guitar. For the first time since I moved there, I couldn't wait to get out. I have some news, though. I hand Liam the papers that were delivered to my apartment from Mr. Moreno. He flips through them, his eyebrow moving up and down each time he gets to an interesting part. She wasn't ever pregnant.
What?
Harrison says as he stands up from his stool. He takes the papers from Liam's hand and reads them. He looks at me, then at Liam, and back at the papers.
What a bitch! Harrison spits out.
She was sick, Liam says. Why he's defending her, I have no idea. Sick or not, she tried to ruin your life. If you keep reading, it lists out all of the other shit she did. She kept a diary, and Mr. Moreno has included some of her entries, I add.
She rigged the tour last year, Harrison says as he reads. The dressing room, the weird phone call I received after I met that chick in the bar. It's all here, Liam. She kept notes on everything.
Harrison continues to turn the pages, flipping them rapidly.
Nothing about Alicia, though.
Harrison throws the papers on the table and runs his hands through his hair. Liam? He's staring off, not really listening to what Harrison just said. Yo, man, you okay? I push him slightly on the shoulder. He looks at me and shakes his head.
What?
You're off in Cloud Cuckoo Land. She lied, he says. I didn't get her pregnant.
She lied about everything. Everything that's happened to us since we've met her has been because of her evil mind. She's fucking twisted, Harrison says.
I know he's upset that the information he's after isn't in there. He'll never know why Alicia did what she did, but at least with the rest of the information we can move on. Liam picks up the papers again and reads through them before putting them aside. We need to get serious about hiring a manager, or hang it up. You want to quit? I ask. The band splitting up is the last thing I want, but if he's ready to call it a day, I'm not going to stop him. He's got a kid now. Christ, Harrison has three. I'm the odd man out. No wife, no kids, nothing keeping me at home. No, I don't, but we need a manager. We need to release a CD and get the airplay. I'll make some calls, he says. I can make some too, I volunteer. With me still living in L.A., I'm around the scene more. I'm sure there's someone looking to add to their client list and won't mind if the talent doesn't live anywhere near them. It shouldn't be a problem at all. What's going on with Jenna's ex? I ask, needing to know the latest. Harrison sighs.
It's not good.
No, it's not. Her parents are here, and her dad tried to get a restraining order against him, But the judge wasn't buying our reasoning. He's not a threat just because he showed up at the cafe.
He's beaten her up before.
As she said, there's no record, aside from the one hospital visit, and those pictures apparently never got logged, Harrison says.
I pick my guitar up and put the strap over my head. I plug the lead into the amp and start tuning. I don't know if there's anything I can do for her, but I'm going to give it a try. No one should have to fear for their lives, and if it means I have to be a permanent fixture at Whimsicality, then so be it.
Chapter 10. Jenna. I'm happy to be back at work, even if it means I'm looking over my shoulder. Damien is gone. At least, that's what Paul says, but I know he'll be back. Nothing about him goes quietly into the night. He doesn't like to lose, and I know him well enough to know that he's pissed off and will seek revenge. Sadly, I'm his target. My mom is currently yapping it up with Jimmy. He's been sitting at the same table since we opened. The first few days I found it odd, until Harrison spilled the beans that Jimmy is currently seeking a full-time job as my babysitter. The guys are overprotective, but it's nice to know that when Damien does return, they'll be around to protect me. I'm just afraid they'll get hurt. Liam assures me that they can and will take care of themselves and the people that they love. Each time the door chimes, my body turns cold. I hate living with fear. I've grown so accustomed to being free that this constant sense of dread washing over me is getting to be too much. I could be free if I left Beaumont, but something tells me I wouldn't get very far. I smile at Nick when he walks in. He's dressed in his usual dark slacks and white button-down shirt. He's here to see Aubrey for lunch. He does this every day that she works. It's sickeningly sweet, but gives me the tiniest bit of hope that someday I'll find my Prince Charming. Nick always chooses to come into the flower shop before going to the cafe, and each time it's because he's buying his wife a single flower. Today he's buying a red sunflower. I like how he's still supporting Josie after everything that went down. I know what happened was for the best, though. Nick never smiled like this until he came home with Aubrey.
Busy today?
Not really. The sun is out, so I think most everyone is enjoying it before it rains. How's the office? I ask, wrapping Aubrey's flower in paper and tying it with a ribbon.
Same old skinned knees, bumps, and the perpetual cough, Nick says, handing me his payment.
But you treat them all the same and with a smile, right?
Of course, he says, smiling. Aubrey and I want to have you over for dinner soon.
Thank you. I'd like that.
Have you told everyone yet?
I shake my head. Nick caught me going into the obstetrician's office. I couldn't hide my elation, and he guessed. He and Aubrey both know, but haven't said anything, and they both know I appreciate them keeping my confidence. Nick will be the baby's doctor if I decide to stay in Beaumont. I'm telling Josie and Liam tonight.
And the baby's dad?
No, not yet. I just don't think it's a good idea. Nick leans forward and lowers his voice.
Please rethink not telling him, Jenna. Even if he's not around, it's important that he know he has a child out there. Besides, he might surprise you and want to be around.
I don't think so. Having a baby would ruin his life. It's best that I just keep his identity a secret. He nods, even though I know he doesn't agree with me. Nick picks up Aubrey's flower and gives me a small wave before turning toward the cafe. I watch as she meets him on the side, squealing in delight because he brought her a flower. She does this every time. I can't imagine how happy she'd be if he brought her a bouquet or jewelry. Aubrey loves Nick dearly. You can see it in the way she looks at him. I used to love Damien that way, even after the abuse started. I thought that if I loved him harder, that if I loved him more, he'd stop. I thought that he'd see how much he was hurting me and realize my pain was because of his fist, but it never stopped. I realized, albeit too late, that he loved hitting me more than I loved taking it. I pull out the chair across from Josie and Liam. Tonight's the night. The truth, well, most of it, will come out. They look at me expectantly, and I want to laugh at how absurd this has all been. But I needed to wait, at least for me, before telling them. I fold my hands in front of me and take a deep breath. I smile, hoping to convey that, yes, everything is okay, even if it might not be.
What's up? Liam asks, breaking the ice.
I know he's busy, and I'm probably keeping him from something important. I look away, down at my hands, and say, I'm pregnant. The audible gasp is from Josie. I'm picturing her with her hand over her mouth. I hear nothing from Liam. I chance a look and am met with indifference. I can't tell what he's thinking. Even though we've only known each other a short time, it's been enough for us to form a bond. How far are you? Joey asks, her voice wavering. I bite the inside of my cheek and straighten out the tablecloth. I'm past my first trimester. I'm starting to show. My clothes are tighter and my mom knows, but she can't really keep a secret and is dying to tell you. I know she's excited. I chance a look at Josie. She's smiling widely, and that makes me feel relieved.
Who's the father? I haven't seen you with anyone, ever.
Liam's words remind me that I've been alone and will continue to be that way. Liam? Josie scolds.
What? He shrugs. I'm just asking. She's family, right?
Josie nods.
Well, if she has someone in her life, I'd like to know him.
You can't, I blurt out.
Why not?
He asks. Because he's not around.
What do you mean, he's not around?
Liam's tone is hard and to the point. I swallow hard and square myself for battle. I've decided not to tell him. We're not together and he doesn't live here. It's for the best. Josie's face goes pale, just as Liam's turns red.
Are you kidding me?
I shake my head and bite the inside of my cheek.
You know what? That's some very selfish bullshit. Josie tried to tell me that she was pregnant, and it kills me every day knowing that I wasn't there for her and Noah. I wasn't given a fucking choice on whether or not I was going to be a douche or not. It was made for me. What makes you think the father doesn't want to be involved?
He's younger and not in the right frame of mind to be in this situation.
So why sleep with him?
Liam? Josie scolds again.
No, I want to know. You have to know the risk when you decide to sleep with someone. Hell, I knew and the biggest bitch burned me. Men don't think of these things when we're having sex, but women do. Your clock's ticking, all that shit. So if he's not father material, why do it?
Tears stream down my cheeks while Liam rants. I know he's right, but it's not like we planned this. It just happened. It wasn't planned, Liam. It was a one-night stand. I take a deep breath. It's not ideal, but it's my decision. I can do this by myself.
Until your ex comes around. I'm sure once he finds out that you're pregnant with another man's baby, that will set him off.
I nod because he's right. Damien always wanted a baby, and I did everything I could to prevent us from conceiving. I'll deal with him then.
No, we'll deal with it. You have to tell the father, Jenna.
I can't.
Why not? He has a right to know,
Liam pleads. I'm pretty sure he regrets sleeping with me. I don't need to see the look on his face when I remind him of the night we spent together and how we're now having a child. That sort of stuff ruins lives, Liam. I don't want to ruin his life.
He has a right to know, and if he doesn't want to be a part of your baby's life, then he's the one missing out. But you have to give him the opportunity whether you think he's father material or not. Don't take the opportunity away from him. It was taken away from me, and I live with a gap in my heart. He deserves to know.
Liam gets up and leaves us. Josie and I jump when the basement door slams. She moves over next to me, pulling me into her arms. I try not to cry, but it's to no avail. It should have been easier to tell Josie and Liam over my mother, but it wasn't. My mom has always known that I want to be a mother. She knows this is my chance. Congratulations. Are you happy? She asks. I nod. I pull away and wipe away my tears. I am. I really am. I set my hand on my stomach and smile. This is a good thing. It is. Babies are wonderful. Believe me, I want another one, but it's not in the cards. But do me a favor and really think about telling the dad. I wish Liam were there for Noah. I know that things with him and I may not have worked, but I have no doubt that he would have been there for his son. Every dad needs to be able to make that choice himself. When I made the decision not to tell, I hadn't thought about what Liam and Noah have gone through, or even Nick. But this man, he doesn't want this. He wants his life the way it is, and this isn't a bump in the road. It's a sinkhole.
and I'm not sure if me being pregnant is enough to make him change his life.
Chapter 11. Jimmy.
What are you doing here?
I look up from my piece of sheet music and find Liam at the door. The studio has a private entrance, and we've always been told it's okay to come whenever we want, but judging by the look on his face, he doesn't want me here right now.
It's late.
I take a quick look at my phone and notice the time.
I'll go.
No, stay, he says, moving further into the room. He picks up his guitar only to put it back down. He walks towards Harrison's drums, hitting the cymbal with his fingers a few times before walking back in my direction. The studio isn't that big with all our equipment in here, and his wandering around makes the room feel much smaller.
Do you ever feel like your head is going to explode?
All the time. Why? Are you and Josie having problems? Liam shakes his head.
Her and I are solid. Every day I have with her is the happiest day of my life.
If this is about a manager, I have a mate who's in a band. I can ask him and see if his manager is interested in helping us out. We might even be able to do a tour with them this summer if we need to.
It's not about the band. We'll figure that shit out.
It's about life. I have no idea where he's going with this, but if he says he's happy with Josie, then I don't have a clue what's weighing so heavily on his mind. This is the notable difference we've all seen in Liam since he moved back to Beaumont. It's like he's more human. Before, he wouldn't give a shit about anything, but now everything matters. I like this Liam, but I'm not gonna lie. The emo crap gets on my nerves.
Is it Noah?
No, it's Jenna.
Jenna?
What the hell could be going on with Jenna that Liam would be so depressed about? I don't want to be nosy, but I'm curious. I know I'm not as close to her as he and Harrison are, but I still consider us to be family, and if she's in trouble, I'd like to be able to help. I don't know if there's anything I could do, but I'd damn well try.
What's wrong with Jenna? I thought the ex was gone.
He is, at least, according to Paul. Liam stops talking and sits down on his stool. He picks up his acoustic guitar and strums a few chords.
Do you know how I found out about Noah?
No, I say. Liam kept Noah a secret from us for a while after he found out about him. Harrison and I never understood why, but I think it's because he was afraid that Josie was going to take him away.
I was having a meltdown over Mason's death, and everything was closing in. I was minutes away from saying fuck it. Instead, I got on my bike and started driving, and ended up at this sports museum we have in the next town. Walking in was a mistake, because there I was, staring back at myself. I was being mocked by the cocky teenager that I was, and there wasn't shit I could do about it. I could hear the crowds cheering in my head. I could remember every pass I had thrown to Mason, and every touchdown I had. All these memories came flooding back, and it was the sound of laughter that broke me. I ran to the bathroom to hide, because I didn't want to be recognized. When I came out, this boy, this shaggy-haired boy, was crying, and I thought he was being bullied, and remembered that Mason and I beat the crap out of some kid in high school for bullying someone who was weaker than us. I felt rage boiling inside of me. Do you know what I did?
I shake my head.
I spoke to him, and he told me that he wasn't allowed to speak to strangers, and I thought, wow, what a smart kid. It was when he said he'd seen me kissing his mom that I knew. I tried to play it off, but one look and it was obvious. One look into his eyes and I saw her, the one I left behind. I knew I had fucked up so badly that I'd never be forgiven. I knew that I was never leaving Beaumont again, because I had a son, whether this boy knew I was his dad or not. I would have stayed in the background just to watch him grow up, but I would have been there.
Josie loves you, Liam.
I promised her the world when we were in high school. I knew she was my girl, but when I went to college, shit was bad, and I freaked out. If Mason hadn't died, I wouldn't know my son.
You shouldn't think like that, man. I'm sure she would have found you.
I know he said that he and Josie are fine, but I'm starting to think otherwise.
Why is he going on about him and Noah like this, when they're a family, when they seem to have everything going for them?
Jenna's pregnant, and doesn't want to tell the baby's father, even though I think she's making a mistake. I told her that the dad has a right to know.